Om Jnana Timiram Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamamam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Vajamatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Purishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांतं मोस्तुते तप्ता कांक्षण गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी कृषभनुसुते देवी हनुमानि हरि प्रिये वांछाकोपितृभ्यश्च Upasindhokhyevacha Kapitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shani Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Should we open these windows too? I think so.
Little noise,
yeah.
But we can out-amplify them. We turn the amplifier up. Oh, now this is good, right? We defeat the forces of traffic. I think. But at least it's cooler.
Okay. I don't know, just the one door.
This is the material world. You turn on the air conditioning, you get too much chill. If you open the windows, you get too much noise. Whatever you do, there'll be some problem. Tavasanam Dvijagab Gavam Paramestyam Jagatpate Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Shreyaya. This is a prayer by the demigods in the seventh canto to Lord Brahma. They observed that Hiranyakashipu was performing severe tapasya. From one point of view, he was a very good devotee. He was observing austerities, and he was doing everything to please his Ishtadevata. But his purpose was demonic. First of all, he's worshipping the wrong person. Instead of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's worshipping one of the deputed agents of the Lord. And instead of worshipping for the sake of spiritual realization or liberation from material existence, he wanted to be on top of material existence. In the previous verse, the demigods said that he is doing this tapasya and worship, but his purpose is to take your post. His purpose is to take your post. He wants to have your power. sometimes we find that people, this is their goal in religion, that they want to become God. And they'll observe austerity, they'll follow all sorts of religious rituals, they'll do puja, they'll do so many things. But their goal is to become as good as God. So this is, therefore they're described in Srimad Bhagavatam as being as good as the demons. The demons who are killed by the Lord attain the liberation of merging into his effulgence. And the impersonalist philosophers who are striving to become one with God have the same objective. So they're as good as the demons from that end of religion. Navasana, Dvijubhrit Kavam, Parameshram Jagatpate. Your position, Lord Brahma is the supreme among the demigods, the most pious person in the universe is given the post of Brahma. Very exalted post to be the chief person in the universe. It's said that if one performs his duties perfectly for 100 births, he can become Brahma. Brahma is the chief architect of the universe. Just as we have city planners and contractors. So for the Lord, the Supreme Lord doesn't personally have to engineer the universe. He contracts it out. Just like our Devakinanda Prabhu, he's not personally building the temple. But he's dealing with so many contractors, subcontractors. He shouldn't have to do everything himself. So the same principle holds on the spiritual platform. The Supreme Lord, Natasya Karyam Karnam Tribhita, he doesn't have to do anything personally. He doesn't have to micromanage the universe. He has his agents and he gives them the service. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. For construction, Lord Brahma is there. For destruction, Lord Shiva is there. And maintenance, he himself. Just when you build a house, you hire a contractor. When you want to tear down a house, you hire a contractor. But to maintain the house, you do it yourself. So Lord Vishnu personally oversees the maintenance of the cosmic manifestation. But for creation, Lord Brahma is there. So he's the representative of God, or the agent of Krishna, God. And Tavasana, your post, Dvijugavam Parameshtam Jagatpate, Pravaya. When you're performing your prescribed duties, whatever you do is auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and the Brahmins. The human society depends on the protection of the cows and the Brahmins. Among the animals, the cow is the most important. The cow is giving milk, the cow is giving all milk products, the bull is plowing the ground or doing other work. So by nature's arrangement, these are the most important animals, the cow and the bull. The horse will also work, the ass will also work, but we don't get the same benefit that we get, all-round benefit, from the cow and the bull. They're the most important animals. And among human beings, the Brahman means those who think clearly. and who are pure in their activities. It's not by birth. There's so many. Yeah, a little more volume. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. That's a little better? Okay. Being Brahmin by birth is not the qualification. There's so many people who are born in so-called Brahmin families who are totally disqualified. Meteors, drunkards, woman hunters, and Trivedi, Chaturvedi, Shukla, Sharma. To be born in Brahmin family may be an opportunity to live as a Brahmin, just as being born in a family of high court justice is an opportunity for becoming a lawyer, for becoming a judge. But it's not that you can walk into the courtroom and say, I'm the son of such and such judge, and therefore I can stand before the bar. Mm-hmm. You have to qualify. And someone else may not be born in a judicial family, but if he's qualified, then he can appear in the court, and no discrimination is made. Krishna says, Chaturvarna Maya Shishta Guna Karma Vibhansha. The different classes of human beings are determined according to what they actually do and what qualities they have, not according to birth. So, Dvija, Brahmins, especially Brahmins, are those who are qualified. Sama, Dhamma, Tapa, Shocham, Shanti, Rajam, and Megacham. Gyan, Vigyanam, Asvikyam, Brahma, Karma, Sapharajam. The Brahmin should be have control of the mind, control of the senses. He should be austere. Pure and clean, tolerant, straightforward, and he should have knowledge and realization. Then he can give proper guidance for the upliftment of human society. The Brahmins are like the head of the society, because the head will give proper thought and proper vision. The arms will give protection. The belly will give sustenance. And the legs will work. All parts of the body are needed. We don't say, oh, my head's enough, I don't need my arms, I don't need my legs. But comparatively, the head is most important. The defect of the modern society is that it's lacking the proper brain, the proper head. The so-called intellectuals are hardly better than fourth-class men. They're writing books, they're giving their learned opinions, they're smoking, they're drinking, they're chasing women. They're accumulating money by illegal means, and they're the ones who are giving the intellectual direction for society, who are setting the goals for the society. Therefore, the society is in difficulty, it's a mess, because the feet are doing the work of the head. The fourth class men, feet are the fourth class men. They can't think very well. They should be properly engaged. Feet are all right, but they should be working as feet, not as the head. Similarly, the second class men, they should also be almost as good as the first class men, but they're more focused on power and administration, and that sometimes obscures clear vision. Passion gets in there and distorts the view that we might have in pure goodness. So the administrative men or the second class, they should take direction from the first class. And then under their protection and guidance, the farmers and business people can do their work. We see that sometimes when the government is all crazy, then business can't go on. I can think of several African countries that have that problem. The administration is so bad that you can't conduct natural business. The roads are not proper. Your property is not safe. Nothing works. Electricity is an on-again, off-again affair. Everything is topsy-turvy and creates a situation in which people can't do business, people can't properly farm their land even and sell their crops because there's no safety even. Anyone can grab your farm, grab your land because the government is not, or sometimes the government itself is the one that wants to grab your land. You can think of a former Soviet country where we have some land and the big shots in the government are very eager to have it. Or some other country wants to move in and grab your land, and because your government is weak, they can't do anything. So when the first and second class men are doing their job, and the third class of men, the farmers and businessmen, can do their work properly, they'll protect the cows. The third section, the Vaishyas, have the duty of protecting the cows and protecting the land. Now, everyone is upset about ecological disorder, ecological imbalance. And yet the same people who are campaigning for ecology are going to McDonald's and eating the animal flesh, and which is the biggest contributor to ecological disaster. So they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. The third class of men should protect the most valuable animals, the cows, and get milk and milk products, and take care of the land. The land is not meant simply for tobacco and coffee, tea, and cash crops. That's not what the land is for. The land is meant to provide the necessities of life. Fruits, grains, milk, the vegetables. And these can be grown and balanced in such a way that one can get everything one needs. And the balance, one can trade for other things, for cloth, for utensils and so on. Krishna himself set the example that he appeared in the Vaishya community, or grew up in the Vaishya community, and he himself was taking care of the cows, just to indicate the importance of the cows for human society. And they were rich also. The people of Vrindavan, they had more than enough milk, more than enough butter, more than enough of all of these things. So they were rich. Wealth doesn't consist of having a lot of big factories and petrol and plastic and metal, and making more cars than we need. Real wealth is found in, even now, if somebody's very rich, then he wants to live in a quiet place, not like this. He wants to live in a very quiet place where everything's peaceful, where there are so many trees and open space. He wants to live in a place like Vrindavan, like Krishna's Vrindavan, a place where there's very nice, and they do, the rich men, they'll have their factory in the city, but they'll live outside in a quiet estate. But that was, when things are properly arranged, that's where most people live. Even now in India, most people still live in the villages. Although they're being pulled to the cities to live a hellish life. In the cities, life is expensive, life is dangerous, life is super competitive. You have to spend so much money to live in a space this big. But in the rural areas, nice, quiet, peaceful, fresh air, fresh water, fresh vegetables, fresh grains. And people are being misled. No, this is primitive. You leave this and come to the city and live a happy life. I have a friend whose mother was very healthy her whole life. And then when she was a little old, all of a sudden she got very sick and had to go to the hospital. And the doctors were trying to find out what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. She eventually died. But either after she died or before she died, the devotee, my friend, who was well-to-do, so he hired the best doctors. And he said, you know, what happened? She lived her whole life, was healthy, and she lived, you know, she had good habits, and the doctor said, city water. He said, no, it must have been city water. You analyze what's in, there's something called cracking the water. That means they divide it into its various constituent components. It sort of segments out into one level, 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 level. And city water, there's always a thin yellow lead layer on the top. We won't say what it is. Because the water is all recycled. So we're very fortunate that in Kali Yuga we can crowd into the cities and drink recycled water, to put it nicely. Any food that's been shipped from 500 miles away and preserved with who knows what, and crowd into little spaces and drink, breathe air which is toxic. And work very hard for not very much. This is a backwards way of life. If you know, now Africa was primitive and now it's becoming more civilized. This is rubbish. Africa was more civilized and now it's becoming primitive. America, if you think about it, what, New York City is like the most advanced city in the world, let's say. But a few hundred years ago, when the American Indians were there, it was undeveloped. And therefore, the rivers were all pure, the air was all clean, there were forests, there were so many birds and so many varieties of everything. And now it's concrete, 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 polluted air, water that you can't drink, and everybody rushing this way, that way. Gotta go, no time. So, but they're more civilized. And bars, brothels, so many things. So this is a backwards civilization, where the cows are killed, the finer sentiments of human society are killed, and there's no vision. There's television. And television means all rubbish. So the right way of life depends on Krishna's arrangement. Krishna created the land, Krishna created everything, and Krishna divided human society up into these people who have different qualifications, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And when things are properly ordered, then everyone will be happy. The idea is not that we have to change our position, that if I'm a Vaishya, I have to become a Brahmin, or if I'm a Vaishya, I have to become a Kshatriya, or if I'm a Shudra, I have to become a Brahmin. But everyone, in whatever work he or she may have, should be engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. By performing one's own prescribed duties and offering the result to Krishna, one becomes perfect. Stane stita shruti katam tamivanya robi. Hare Krishna. Maybe we can move up a little bit. Everyone can become happy. It's not that we have to change our position, but we have to change our consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Stane stutam, stutam shruti katam, by hearing the message of Krishna. Hearing the message. This is the, and how will we hear? This is the business of the Brahmins, the business of the spirit. Of course, it's the business of everyone. Everyone can hear about Krishna, everyone can chant Hare Krishna, everyone can talk about Krishna. But especially the leading members of society should be those who are giving spiritual knowledge. Those who are giving spiritual knowledge and living according to the principles of spiritual knowledge.
But the demigods observed, now this rascal, Hiranyakashipu, he wants to take your post. And when he does that, then there'll be all chaos. When he occupies, yes. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and in this way all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. When the land is properly taken care of, when the cows are properly taken care of, when everyone is engaged in Krishna consciousness, then there'll be, and everything flourishes, then we have a happy society. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. this is the problem of in modern society, that the seat of government is occupied by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bedding, especially for sex enjoyment, luxurious life. This gentleman, Hiranyakashipu, those were his interests, gold and sense enjoyment. And there are practically all over the world so many distinguished heads of state who have the similar goal of life. One of our illustrious presidents in the United States, we used to see when I was growing up pictures of him with his beautiful wife and his cute little kids, and they were like the ideal family. But the Washington Press Corps used to call him Mattress Jack. Mattress Jack. Kashipu Jack. Or Jack Kashipu. Because they knew that this is his actual business. So many women. Yes. I think that's now widely known. Professional ladies of a certain profession in Washington, D.C. would visit the White House late at night. And this was his business. And there are so many examples all over the world. Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu, where the kings or the presidents or heads of state are practically plunderers. They're practically plunderers. Sometimes they're found out, the government, some revolutionary forces come and they accuse the government that they're stealing from the people and they're exploiting and they're taking graft and they're embezzling money and so on. And so they throw out the corrupt leaders and then they come in and do the same thing. The next group of thieves and plunderers. This is the unfortunate position of Kali Yuga. And they do it on a grand scale. It's not that this only goes on in Africa, and in North America we have no such problems. Anyway, I don't want to point fingers at any particular government, especially if I happen to hold their passport. But Bhagavatam says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu, all rascals. Vabhuta Sargalokesman Daivasura Evacha. These two forces are there, the forces of godliness and the forces of demonic life. Vishnu Bhakta Smita Daiva Asuras Tadviparya. Those who are the devotees of God are the devas, and the asuras, the demonic, are just the opposite. They're just the opposite. They're against God, or they want to be God, or they give some lip service to religion, but their activities are all just the opposite, just in contrary to principles of God consciousness. So they're the Hiranyakashipu Sampradaya. And the Krishna Consciousness Movement is the Prahlad Maharaj Sampradaya, Prahlad's party. So this is the most important movement, Krishna Consciousness Movement, to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna, the culture of God consciousness, the protection of the Brahmins and the cows, a simple natural way of life, as ordained by God Himself. And asuras talk to Pari Yogi. Demons are just the opposite. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll close the windows. I'll surrender to the air conditioner. And we'll see what kind of questions you have. And who has the magic AC button? So now you can vote for me when I run for office because I've had the AC turned on. There was one president, his slogan for while campaigning was, a chicken in every pot. Chicken in every pot. This is the idea of prosperity, that so many chickens should be killed so that in every pot there'll be a chicken. They had no knowledge, of its promising prosperity, your pot will have a chicken. They have no knowledge. There should be fruits, grains, vegetables, milk products, not pots full of nasty things. And of course, the ignorant people, they're, yes, a chicken in my pot, very good. They don't know, so they're the blind following the blind. What questions? Yes?
Maharaj, today's day and age, especially with me, I feel like I want to pray, I want to chant, but it's always prolonged till later, like, okay, I'll do it later. How do I...
We want to chant, we want to pray, but it's always we'll do it later. Therefore, we should have good association. On our own, our minds may wander and we're just maybe lazy and we'll think, yeah, later. And so many things will be there to distract us. But if we have good association, then in association there's strength. That the like-minded persons, if I'm a little weak, the next person will be strong. What is it? Strength in numbers. Prabhupada gave the example that if there's one stick, you can break it very easily. But if you have a bundle of sticks, it's very hard to break. So when you have therefore Prabhupada gave this society of devotees. We know that in our own homes, we will tend to stagnate, that's the word. We'll sort of stagnate, like water that's sitting. It doesn't just remain clear and transparent. It gradually clouds up and turns green and stagnates. So that will happen with us also. Individually, even though I may think, let me chant, let me pray, let me be Krishna conscious, but without association, the tendency will be there to stagnate. Tendency will be there because Mama Maya Dracha, Maya is very strong. So Maya pulls, come on. So many different directions. But if we have the association of devotees, then when Maya says, come on, then the devotees are saying, get off it. When there's association of devotees, then there's always some program. There's always kirtan, and there's always bhajan, or there's always worship of the deities, or there's always book distribution, or there's always some program of Krishna consciousness. Someone's house, or the next person's house, or the next person's house, or the temple, or the university, here or there, there's always something going on. Even if there's some social function in the material world, you may think about going, but unless there's some friend, you don't want to go. First you check and see if any of your friends are going. And if some friends are going, you know, it sort of reaches a big enough number, then okay, if you and you and you, if she and she or she are going, then I'll also go. Otherwise, if it's just me, I think, well, I don't know if I'm going to go. But when everybody's going, then, you know, I have to go too. It's like Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, when her father was having a sacrifice, even though she wasn't invited, and even though she sort of knew that I'm not doing very well with my father, it's probably better that I don't go there. But she saw my sisters are going to be there, everybody's going, I want to go too. So that tendency is there. Man is a social animal. So when other people are doing things, we want to do that. The thing in trouble is that other people want to do nasty things, and then they're calling us up, hey, come on. And you say, well, no, I don't really. Oh, come on. I don't do that. No, what do you mean you don't do that anymore? Come on, you know you'd like to do that. Right? So association is very important. By bad association, our life becomes spoiled. We fall in with those who are drinking, and then we start drinking. We fall in with those who are wasting their life this way or that way, and we, their companies start to do the same thing. On the other hand, if we associate with the devotees, then we start to do the things that devotees do. We chant Hare Krishna, we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we, in various ways, engage ourselves in service. So that we have no time for Maya. We have no time for Maya. So this society of devotees is so important. It should be cultivated, the association of devotees. And we should avoid, actually, Sangatyaga Satovate, Goswami says. We should avoid the company of those who are materialists. Stri Sangi Ekashadhu Krishna Bhakta, those who are too much attached to the association of women for sense enjoyment, the association of men for sense enjoyment, and those who are not interested in devotional service. Why do we want their association? We should avoid it. And sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra, we should associate with devotees. Our society is meant for that. The more we associate with devotees and engage ourselves in activities of Krishna consciousness, the more our life becomes nice. And the more we invite others, that you also, come on, associate with us. Because that's how they become. That's how people change from being materialists to becoming nice devotees. Is that they enter the association with devotees and they see, wow, this is nice. These people are chanting. Come on in, there's space here someplace.
Hare Krishna.
They see that people are chanting, they're dancing, they're taking nice Krishna prasadam, they're very happy. Well, let me also do this. By association, it comes. So that's another of our purposes, to give people the opportunity to associate with the devotees, to invite them. Come on. We're having a party. We're having a festival, we're having a program, so come on. We want to invite the whole world, or at least those who are close by. Associate. Come on. Enjoy a happy life in Krishna consciousness. What else? Who else might have a question bubbling up here someplace?
Marge, you say like how we all are in our city life, so we're all integrated into the three modes of material nature. So could you enlighten us more on how to still be part of that system, because it's our duty that we're all there?
How to be part of this system, city life, because it's our duty. Of course, it's not really our duty, it's just what we're stuck with at the moment. But if that's what we're stuck with, first of all, we can consider, am I really stuck with it? Sometimes we may get radical. No, I don't have to do this. Yeah, the standard wisdom is that I have to do what everybody else is doing. But if I look at it and say, do I really have to? Then I may make a radical choice and say, no, I don't have to do this. I can live a more simple life. I don't have to simply work for some big corporation and make money for them. I can look for a different way to live. Maybe I'll just be a Hare Krishna devotee and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Radical, there's a radical choice, brahmachari life. They tell me I have to get an education, I have to work, I have to get married, I have to work some more, I have to work, and I have to work, and spend money, and make more money. And I may ask, for what? Is my life meant for this? Simply working and making money? And spending it for my family? Prahlad Maharaj said, Komaratre Pragya Dharman Bhagavatani. He was preaching to his 5-year-old friends, what are you wasting your time with this demonic education that your teachers are trying to give you? Let's spend our time for Bhagavad Dharma. They said, no, we want to play, we're kids. Later, when we're old men, then we can do this Bhagavad Dharma thing. Prahlad Maharaj said, no, your life is going to be gone very quickly. And he explained, 25 years is spent playing and then courting. And then you get married, and then so many years spent working. And then at the end, rocking. But where's the time for all that time? So best thing is begin now. So someone may make what's considered a radical choice and say, I'm not going to get entangled in this material existence. Like the Kumaras, their father, Brahma. I asked them, my dear boys, please get married, we need to increase the population of the universe. The boy said, we're not going to get entangled with this material existence. We'll remain Kumaras, Brahmacharis. So one may do that. Or, being unradical, let's suppose we're living in the city, we're in family life, we're in our occupation and so on. Then one should mold one's life in such a way that he always has the opportunity to get the association of devotees and to serve Krishna. To be engaged in the service of the deity, to be engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness. It's not that only the sannyasis can do that. In America, we have one community in Silicon Valley. They're all preaching. They're all engaged in mostly software work and business, but maybe most of them are Indians, some of them are non-Indians. You know what I'm going out and preaching? The men, the women, kids, they're all distributing books in the store-to-store, house-to-house, and they're very happy. They're looking forward to the opportunity to get together with the other devotees and go out and distribute books. But it's not, this is only sannyasi engagement. The materialists look forward to their day off or getting off of work so that they can sit in the pub and watch the soccer game and drink beer. So they have time, but they're wasting. And the devotees want to spend that time for Krishna conscious activities. So one can do that. Mold one's life in such a way. And then one shouldn't stay in family life till the very end. Panchashortam vanam vajay. In the Vedic social system, it's not that if you live 100 years, then there's 20 years of education and 80 years of family life. By the age of 50, one should cut out of family life. And Vanaprastha Ashram is there for retirement from material activities. And finally, sannyas. Household life is not a lifelong affair in the Vedic culture. One shouldn't stay in family life to the end. That's family planning. Planning how to get out of family life. Yes? Yes?
Maharaji, when one is liberated, when one is in Vaikuntha, no, he is liberated, he doesn't come to the material world.
Yeah.
In case of Jaya Vijaya, they did some action of Abhrad, they were thrown into the material world, and they have a number of, you know, jhanas. So can you shed some light about it?
Yeah, it says no one comes back from Vaikuntha, but apparently they fell down from Vaikuntha because of Vaishnava Parada offenses to devotees. One explanation is that they weren't quite in Vaikuntha, they were out at the gates. You know, so they were like neither in nor out, or maybe a little out. And another explanation is that Krishna so desired. This was not an ordinary fall down. But Krishna wanted to have some sport. Just like a king. Sometimes the kings keep a wrestler so that they can have someone to fight with for enjoyment. But Krishna also has that sporting propensity. He likes to fight, but who will fight with him? So he casts some devotee in the role of adversary. They can serve as Hiranyakashipu and Yaksha and so on. Yes.
Maharaj, what is Krishna consciousness and how is it different from everything else the world has?
What is Krishna consciousness and how is it different from everything else? Krishna consciousness is a science and culture of developing our relationship with God. Generally, the world is not interested, it's not geared toward that purpose. It's simply, how will I enjoy? How will I enjoy? And we were talking to the radio man the other day. What is your goal in life? If you want to do a very interesting experiment, whenever you meet somebody during the day, you know, just for a day or two, ask them, so what's your goal in life? You'll hear the most vapid answers. In this case, it was to be the best I can be. That's a common answer. To be the best I can be, right? What's your goal in life? To be the very best I can be. Best what? Or to be the best radio announcer. Or really, I don't want to be in radio. What did he want to be in?
Business.
He wanted to start his own business. Okay, so his goal in life is he's going to start his own business and be the best he can be. So? You'll be the best you can be, and which is probably not all that great. And then you'll die. And then you'll be the beast you can be. Take birth as an animal. Or you'll take another birth as a human being, and again come back and be the best you can be. What does it mean? You have this human life after millions of lifetimes. After millions of lifetimes, and what do you want to do with your life? I want to be the best I can be. I want to start my own business. What will you get from that? You'll get some money and you'll have your name on the business. My grandfather started a business. His name, I don't think his name is still on the store. Yeah, his name is still on the store, actually. He's dead since before I was born. but his name is on the store because he started a business. But what good is it for him? What's the use of having his name? Sometimes there's a name, you know, on the store, it's like, Sony and Sons. And the business is like 200 years old, and Sony is gone, his sons are gone. And what is the use for Mr. Sony that he started this business? Sometimes the sons ruin the business also. Or the sons do all right and the grandsons ruin the business. Or they sell the business. And then, so what is your credit that you started the business that was sold to somebody else, that was later sold to somebody else? You were the best you could be, but what was the use of it? You got to be the best you could be and then leave your body and take birth again in another body. It means you miss the real purpose of life. Parava listava the polajato, yavana jigyasata, atmatattva. Until one inquires about atmatattva, until one inquires about the real purpose of life, his life is considered parava, a failure. However successful he may be materially, his life is a failure. Because he hasn't fulfilled the purpose of human life. He has the intelligence of a human being, but he's used it to start a business so that he can get money and eat nicely, sleep nicely, have good sex, and be secure. But that's what the animal works for also. So Krishna consciousness is the cultivation of God consciousness and spiritual realization, which is the actual purpose of human life. It doesn't matter whether we're Christian or Hindu or Muslim or what country, what race, what anything. This is the business of human life. And the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for people of every background to offer them spiritual training, spiritual opportunity to progress in that purpose. Is that okay? We hope everyone will take it very seriously and spread it for the welfare of others. Another question?
Maharaj, does the soul ever sleep?
Does
the soul ever sleep?
Does the soul ever sleep? Yeah, that's what we're doing now. We're all sleeping and dreaming. I'm dreaming I'm American, I'm dreaming I'm British, I'm dreaming I'm Indian, I'm dreaming I'm Botswana, I'm dreaming I'm this, I'm dreaming I'm that. It means we're asleep. The soul is really sleeping and dreaming. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is crying, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, wake up. Go to Chandravoga. Go to Nitya Jamaya, Pisachirakur. You're sleeping, and not only you're sleeping, but you're sleeping on the lap of a witch. Huh? Very dangerous position. You're not only sleeping, but you're sleeping on the lap of the witch. Who is that witch, Maya? Maya's got everyone under her spell, and we're thinking that we're something we're not, and we're wasting our life because we're sleeping. So this chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama, is meant to awaken sleeping souls to real life. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, if you could please just speak a bit about why, as we in human life, should consume foods in the mode of goodness, in an example, and why we shouldn't consume foods in the mode of ignorance.
An example of people in the mode of goodness and why we shouldn't consume food in the mode of
No, like just foods in both modes.
Food in the modes of good. Yeah, that's described in the Bhagavad Gita.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes
that there's food in goodness, food in passion. Yeah, you have a Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
Food in ignorance. Ahara Satvika Svataha. The food in goodness. Stira, Fridya, Snigdha, Rasya, juicy, healthy, giving strength. These are grains, milk products, vegetables, which are in the mode of goodness, are like that. And in passion, katvamyat atiushna tiksha rukshna vidahina. Here it comes. We'll rely on memory. Satra bala rogya. What increases your life? Ayu. People are eating things that shorten your life. But what increases your life? Satva, bala arogya, which gives strength and good health. Sukha, priti vivardhana, which gives happiness and satisfaction. Rasya, snigdha, stira, vidya. Hearty food which is wholesome and so on. That's in goodness. Gatvamla, lavanatyushna, tikshna ruksha, vidayana. Ahara, rajasasyeshta, dukkha shokamayatana. Then food and passion is ultra, ultra hot, ultra salty, ultra. Bitter, ultra sour, katvamla, amla sour, katu, bitter, labinati, too much salt, too hot, burning. And you go to, a lot of your fast food and your impulse food is like that, loaded with chili, you're loaded with salt. Bet you can't eat just one, right? Sets it gets the tongue, on fire. These days, it's with artificial stuff. There's some, I forget, it's some eight-syllable chemical that they add to food and it makes it tasty. It's just junk, but you put some chemical in it and it becomes too sweet, too, everything's too. Ati, ati, ati. That's passion. The tongue, a new taste experience. That's passion. And dukkha shoka maya prada. And it actually gives misery. Burns out your stomach walls and gives overeating and overweight. You see people walking out. And they're going to heart specialists and they're going to this specialist and that specialist and their joints are giving them problems and their everything is giving them problems. And the doctor gives them a pill and the doctor gives them an operation. But the doctor never says, you're eating crazy. But in Vedic treatment, the Ayurvedic doctors, first thing they do is look at your diet. Look at what you're eating. All rubbish. Too hot, too salty, too. And just throws the body into
the word? Overdrive. Overstimulates the organs of the body, and everything becomes. So it leads to misery. Then, yata yamam gata rasam bhuti paryushitam chayat uchchishtam apichamedya bhojata chupojanam tamasakya. Yata yama means old food that's been lying around for who knows how many hours. Gata rasam, no juice to it, stale, food that's stale. And puti, bad smelling. In some cultures, when food smells very bad, then it's a delicate issue. When you have a cheese that's been sitting around for 20 years, so that this beautiful blue mold was formed on the surface of it. So that it's like marble. Part cheese and part mold. And you can smell it from the other side of the house. Then it's a very expensive delicacy. Booty, bad smelling. Or liquor. Like beer is so nasty smelling. And liquor is nasty smelling. Bhuti paryushitam. And paryushitam means decomposed. Again, your liquor. Fermentation means that it's been, again, they keep it in the vat for 40 years. And then, again, it's like so valuable because it's been running for 40 years. And it has, what do they call it? Such a fine shade, such a fine scent. It's rotten, that's all. But those who are in the mode of ignorance are attracted to beer, wine, whiskey, all of that kind of stuff. Or even there are some fruits that are in the mode of ignorance. Bad smelling. What is that called? In Singapore and Malaysia, they have a fruit.
Durian.
You can smell it in the next county, right? and people love it, right? It's very great. Very much appreciated. But according to the Bhagavad Gita, this bad smelling fruit is in the mode of ignorance. It's like fruit that's rotting or anything. Decomposed, rotting. That's in the mode of ignorance. The mushrooms are considered to be in the mode of ignorance. What are they growing in? Dark places where decomposed things are flourishing. Growing right where something is rotting, they grow. But the mushrooms are in the mode of ignorance. The garlic is in the mode of ignorance. So many things. So the food in passion and ignorance is not recommended. The food in goodness is recommended. And apart from that, actually no food is recommended except Krishna Prasada. Yagya Shishtashana Santo Muchinse Sarvakilvishana. By eating prasada, one is freed from all past sinful reactions. Dunjate te tukam kapam yeka chantyatmakakri. Those who are eating food cooked simply for enjoyment are actually eating sinful reactions in the shape of food. So our propaganda is that people should take Krishna prasada. That will be the best food. Are people getting Krishna prasada before they come?
Yes.
Shall we stop here? Or are there other questions? Is that your question?
Maharaj, if somebody is in Krishna consciousness or doing devotional service, how do we know he is not under the spell of the three modes of nature?
Because he's acting in Krishna consciousness. The question is, if someone is acting in Krishna consciousness, how do we know he's not under the spell of nature? We know because he's acting in Krishna consciousness.
So
it's like, how do we know that you're not, like in America, we in the old days, our enemy was Russia. So how do we know you're not working for the Russians? Because you're working for the Americans. If you're working for America, you're not working for Russia. So if you're working for Krishna, you're not working for Maya.
So they will not be active. Three
modes
will not be active.
Mam Jayo Vyabhacharena Bhakti Gaina Savita Sagunana Samiti Tanitam. If you're engaged in Krishna service, you surpass the modes of Krishna. There was a question in the back? Yes.
Since we all are under the Krishna consciousness, and still we know that we came into the world bare hand, and we'll go also with bare hands. But still we are after the money and the fame. So what is that?
That's called Maya.
Maya. So how we can get rid of that?
Chant Hare Krishna. Anecha Shodhi Maya Nashi Viralagi Harinam Maha Mantra Lao Tumimagi. The other day was the Avirbhav of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is giving this prescription. I brought the medicine which counteracts Maya.
How long it takes some time, you know?
2 minutes. You chant Hare Krishna, and immediately you're not in Maya. Then you just go on chanting Hare Krishna. That's all. Your whole life. And then go back to Godhead.
But some people say it is difficult to, you know, get rid of flesh, means Maya. Even
to get, it's difficult to get rid of Maya?
Yes.
It is. But Maya may be yet. Krishna also says it's very difficult. Maya is practically insurmountable. When someone surrenders to me, business finished. But we're giving the simple method. Yes?
How does one choose a spiritual master?
How does one choose a spiritual master very carefully?
What does that mean?
It means that we have to know what the qualifications of the spiritual master are. Therefore, we have so many books you can read and you can find out the qualifications. And it said one should examine the spiritual master at least a year. One should see very carefully, does he match the, I mean, the spiritual master from his side should see what kind of disciple is this? Is he just looking to, you know, have a guru for a decoration, or is he a serious man? In this way. Is that okay? Yeah? Read the books and see what are the qualifications. And then see in the society of devotees where you find those qualifications.
This looks like the best thing if we... I'll move mine. And here's yours. And here's yours. And the other things can move, and then we've got a spot.
How would you like to serve them? Should I put them on a tissue for you?
However you recommend. You're the expert in this field, so what?
Generally, Maharaj is comfortable giving.
You're going to give me these, and I'm going to give them out that way.
Okay.
Okay.
so we'll keep them.
Do we need the tissues? Well,
I don't need it, but people will get an extra benefit. Okay. Shall we stop here and chant Hare Krishna and distribute some prasadam? Or are there more questions?
Any more questions?
Yes.
Sometimes a devotee is in devotional service, but he gave God the ego form of Maya.
The ego form?
Yes, the pride he gave to
yeah.
Pride.
Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one should cultivate a humble mood. Trinadapi Sri Chaitanya. Tarorapi Sri Ishnana. Amadinam. Kaviraj Goswami says one should make a necklace of the holy name of this verse. It means keep it always in our thought that we should be humble. In the Bible, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is a universal principle. It's known everywhere that if we're puffed up, proud, then we're on our way down. So better to be humble and meek. We can remember Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakur. They were the greatest devotees, but they were so humble.
And this ego is such subtle. People could not recognize till it hit their young.
Yeah. Therefore, we should stay in the association of devotees. First of all, the association of devotees, we'll see so many advanced devotees, and then we can think, well, what am I compared to these wonderful Vaishnavas? And sometimes the Vaishnavas will, as our friends, will advise us, Prabhu, you know, getting a little puffed up, no? It's good to have friends who can advise us. Prabhu, that wasn't the humblest way to approach that matter. You know, they can correct us. Or the spiritual master will correct us. Therefore, tad vigyanartam saguru meva vigashte. One is meant to approach a bona fide spiritual master like a menial servant. It doesn't matter, I'm the son of the king, I'm whoever I am. But when I come before my guru, then I'm like a lackey, a menial servant. So even the biggest men. Now a big man finds a guru who'll flatter him and tell him that he's the greatest guy in the world because he gives money. As long as you give me money, then I flatter you and I say that, yes, you're a very, very good Brahmin, you're a very good devotee, you're a very good man. Just carry on the way you're doing and keep the money coming. But the bona fide spiritual master is not meant to flatter the disciple. He's meant to find the faults in the disciple. We saw Prabhupada was sometimes painfully cutting. He would just slash at the biggest egos. I have one godbrother. He's told this story. He was a very tough man. Really, a sort of grew up in a tough environment, and a really tough guy, and a very big collector. I mean, he would collect hundreds of thousands of dollars somehow or other, and really kind of a hard exterior, tough, really tough person, not one of these,
Is there some way I could serve you?
Yeah. Tough guy. But very devoted to Prabhupada. So he was in Vrindavan. He'd taken sannyas also. He was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, in the middle of the night, called for him. He had his servant call such and such devotee. 1 o'clock at night. So Prabhupada called him. Where were you? He said, I was sleeping, Srila Prabhupada. Why were you sleeping? Well, Srila Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee like you.
why you are not a pure devotee. You know, anything that he said, the next answer was yeah, completely broke him down. I had this devotee crying, actually. Yeah. Why you are not a pure devotee? Another devotee, Prabhupada, he was Prabhupada's servant, personal servant for some time. He was a GBC man, also a sannyasi. And he, but Prabhupada sometimes would consider him very impractical. And Prabhupada told the story of Sir Isaac Newton, and how Sir Isaac Newton had two dogs, a big dog and a small dog. So that they could get through the door, he made two like little holes in the door, a small one and a big one. He didn't think that if I make a big one, this is expensive. So he made two holes, a small one and a big one. So Prabhupada used to call this devotee Sir Isaac Newton. Prabhupada could even cut down Tamal Krishna Goswami. Mm-hmm. That means Prabhupada had superhuman powers. Tamal Krishna Goswami is very capable, very accomplished devotee. But Prabhupada could cut. Prabhupada said that's the duty of the spiritual master, to find out the faults. Rascal, fool, nonsense. These were some of Prabhupada's pet names for his disciples. Rascal, fool, nonsense. Overintelligent, simply rascal. That's a great blessing for the disciple. Duty of the spiritual master, because he's the representative of Krishna. So the disciple has to learn to be submissive to the spiritual master, and in that way become fit for Krishna's service.
If somebody finds the fault in the spiritual master and engage in devotional service, what is his destination?
Someone finds a fault in the spiritual master and he's engaged in devotional service, what is his destination? As a general answer, his destination is that he'll fall down. Guru Aparad, offense at the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. So that's both Vaishnava Aparad and offensive to the holy name, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, and directly Guru Aparad. So that's very corrosive to spiritual life. The only time is if there's the exception is if the spiritual master's Karya Karya Vijanataha, the Rupa Goswami, not Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, gives some direction when the spiritual master can be ignored. Avaishnavo padishtena mantrena nidhyam praje, like that.
when he goes against the scriptural directions, when he himself, karya karya vijanate, when he's lost his discrimination, what is to be done and is not to be done. And then the other one is, there are three verses. One is from Mahabharata and the other two are from the Puranas. One is basically, when the spiritual master is not, just like sometimes we come to Krishna consciousness after having been a member of such and such movement or such and such movement, Mayavadi, we were initiated by some Mayavadi guru or by some avatar or some bogus person. But we don't consider that, oh, how can you leave your guru? It's a nonsense. A Vaishnava, he's not a Vaishnava, he can be neglected. Or he's a Vaishnava, but then he departs from the Vaishnava principles. Then again, I'm forgetting the shloka, but the person who instructs in such a way that it's not according to the sampradaya, and the person who listens to him and follows him, they both go to hell. Nirayam Vijay. He's not instructing properly, and I'm just like sometimes we've had our history, someone is not following, and he goes off and followers also follow him into nonsense. But the intelligent disciple thinks that, wait a second, this is not what I joined for. To take LSD or to do something else which is not according to Vedic principles or to accept some idea which is not according to Prabhupada's teachings. Under such circumstances, just like Bali Maharaj, he had accepted a guru, Shukracharya, who was a Brahmin and Acharya. But the Shukracharya told him, when Vamandev came begging, don't give him anything. He'll take everything away. And what will happen to us? We're living on your donations. And he takes everything away, then you're in the soup and I'm in the soup. So don't give him anything. And you don't have to, because you didn't say om before you promised. Or, you know, you're like a lawyer finding a loophole. So the Bali Maharaj said, no, I won't reject my promise to him, I'll reject you. The guru is ready to curse him, you'll go to hell, you'll... No, I'm not going to hell, but I'm not going to break my word to this Brahmin. He may take everything from me. And in this way, Bali Maharaj, instead of going to hell, became a Mahajan. So, not that very easily I can therefore, well, Guruji said, but Bali Maharaj, and I, you know, just pull the Bali card every time I don't want to do something. That's, then he goes to hell. But if the spiritual master is not, if he's an offender to the Vaishnavas, if he loses his discrimination, if he teaches something which is against the Vaishnava conclusion, then one should reject him. So these are the two sides of it. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.